And when I die and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in this world. Carry on, carry on.
This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. To introduce my next guest, I want to tell you a little story. My dad died in 1997 after a very, very lengthy illness in which his body essentially was falling apart and giving way. His mind was still alive and active inside of his head, but his muscles atrophied and life just became worse and worse for him. He eventually died of natural causes because of those problems from that disease, but I will admit that along the way, my mom and my brother and I had discussions about what we would do to help Dad if he could not take the pain and could not take the suffering anymore. We read a book by Derek Humphrey called Final Exit, in which he lays out what you can do to help someone in your family in that situation to assist them from having to go on and to end their lives with dignity. I absolutely would have done it if my dad had asked me to. Well, there are lots of doctors who are asked to do that around the country on a regular basis. And in the state of Montana, one doctor was part of a battle against some politicians who wanted to change the law there. In 2009 in Montana, the state Supreme Court ruled that state law protects doctors from prosecution when they help terminally ill patients die. But in February, the Montana House passed HB 505, which would have essentially reversed that and made people like Dr. Eric Kress criminals and sent them to jail for doing exactly that. Fortunately, I can report to you that last Monday, the Montana Senate defeated HB 505 on a vote of 27-23 and then voted to indefinitely table the bill. But I've invited Dr. Eric Kress to join me here and talk about the whole death with dignity notion and the battle that he's been waging in Montana. Doctor, welcome to America Weekend.
Well, thank you for having me.
When you first faced this, you weren't sure about being able to help somebody die, right?
Yes. My first encounter with a patient requesting aid in dying medication after the 2009 Baxter decision, it was just shortly after I work with some local hospice organizations, seeing patients and doing medical director work. And he was a man with ALS. He'd had the diagnosis for 4 to 5 years and was wasting away. He'd formerly been a man of 200 pounds or plus and quite a strapping guy. And now he's down to 120 pounds of skin and bones, and he was unable to eat safely, so he had a tube feed. He could walk, but he kept falling, and you know, so his speech was affected quite a bit. So he was getting to the, you know, the latter, you know, close to terminal stages of ALS, and he asked me for aid in dying medication. At the time, I didn't really have it fleshed out in my mind, the law and whether it was the legal nature of it, and nor did I really know the or have experience with the exact mechanism of which medicine to prescribe, etc. So I hesitated, and shortly thereafter he sort of stockpiled enough medication to end his own life. So he got me thinking about it. He also was a very direct person, and he let it be known that he didn't think I was acting in a very brave fashion. He told me I was a coward and et cetera. So he got me thinking about it, that's for sure.
After that, how many of your other patients have asked you for aid in dying medication, and how many of them have you actually prescribed it for and have used it?
Well, I've had approximately 10 patients come to me requesting aid in dying medication. I've prescribed it on 3 occasions, and all 3 of those patients have gone on to utilize that medication to assist them in their dying process.
I was going to ask if you had any second thoughts about it, but obviously the fact that you denied it to seven means you had more than just second, but third, fourth, and fifth, and probably more thoughts about the whole question.
Well, yes, I think that really when you look at the process to go through to become comfortable prescribing the medication, I don't so much look at it as me being, a deliverer of life and death. I really look at it as sort of a partnership with the patient to decide if this is the right thing. And so I think that, rather than me, being a god or something, it really felt more like I'm an advisor. I'm someone who's advising them on the possibility of doing this. And for some people, that was definitely what they wanted. And for other people, they decided not to utilize that option. But, so I don't really see it as, it was really not completely in my hands. It was sort of in both of our hands or both of our realm of decision making. The three people that I prescribed it for, I think when you look at aid and dying, most of us probably won't use this as an option. But it's unique to the person and the disease. There's no doubt in life that some people are just, they're not going to want to go through the debilitation that occurs with a chronic illness, and they just as soon skip some of that. So it's unique to the person, and then it's also unique to the disease. Some of us, no matter how great a life we led, will be afflicted with a tough disease that's just going to be a lot of pain, suffering, and it could be a long time. So it doesn't matter how great a life you led, you could have a really bad disease to end your life. So I think that's, a unique aspect of it.
And it's also important to remember that these kind of life and death decisions are made by patients and doctors in hospitals all across America every day. And, the opponents of physician-assisted suicide said that when Oregon and Washington were the first states to legalize it, that there would be a rush to die there. And that has not been the case. And I'm guessing it has not been the case in the last 4 years in Montana either.
No, it hasn't. People have seemed to... I've only seen patients come to me in reasonably appropriate situations to request the medication. Several features of the medicine do make it a little bit, it is actually, it's sort of unique medication. We don't prescribe much, so you have to order it in, and it's actually fairly expensive. Also, some people come to me in a situation where I really feel like the first thing I tell people when they come to me, I've always said, we're not going to write a prescription today. Okay, we're going to talk. We're going to get to know each other. I need to know your case. I actually want to have hopefully your personal physician, say your regular doctor or an oncologist. I want to have somebody else that's going to be willing to put down on paper that you have a terminal condition. And then I need time to assimilate the record and make sure that you're of sound mind. You're not just somebody who's depressed and wants a way to actually commit suicide. And that's why every time I speak on it, I use the word aid in dying. After having done this, it's really reinforced in my mind that this is not helping somebody commit suicide. If suicide is by somebody who wants to die, none of the patients I've prescribed for have wanted to die. If they didn't have their disease, they'd want to live. They wanted to live for the last 5 years that they've lived with their disease. But now the time has come where the suffering, greatly outweighs the benefit of the small amount of continued time on this earth. And they rationally made the decision to end their life somewhat early. But I just really think we have to develop a new dialogue about this is aid in dying. Suicide is when somebody wants to die and they kill themselves. That's a tragedy. As a family doctor, I work every day of the week seeing depressed patients, and helping, trying to make sure nobody commits suicide. And then this area of medicine, it's a very, of my total professional time, it's been a very small amount. But I feel that I've really helped somebody with their dying process, and it's helped them palliate the symptoms of their disease. This is aid in dying. It's not assisted suicide.
Well, I think that's a great way to look at it, and I think that's a great way to refer to it now. I've always called it death with dignity, but aid in dying is perhaps even better. You're not a coward. You weren't before. You're a conflicted man who now is doing the right thing to help your patients. That's what doctors are supposed to be doing, and I really appreciate your efforts, and thanks for joining me here today on America Weekend.
You're welcome. Glad to be here today.
That is Dr. Eric Kress, a family physician in Missoula, Montana.
Paul Harris, America Weekend.